we're getting close to Thanksgiving Day. Do you have to make any dishes? Or do you just get to sit and eat it? Maybe you're making a turkey. How you cooking that bird? We're going to talk about it. This is America Tonight. Kate Delaney's my name. Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. So coming up this hour, we've got the Daily Salute. Oh, I love this Daily Salute. It just shows how you can really pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go on to bigger and badder and better things. Got a great, great, great Daily Salute. Also, the blame game goes to the polls. This on the heels of the Super Committee. You know how we love polls. It's a pretty interesting one, though it's not shocking that we're all looking to Washington and just shaking our heads in frustration. Really, do we ever do a poll where you have a majority of people saying, man, I love it. I really love my representative. I really feel like I can trust what's happening in Washington. I feel good about things. I can't remember last time I had anyone say that to me. So we're going to get to all of that. Plus, holiday exit lines, because I'm such a great joke teller. I try. We've got a few that I saved up. I actually have a friend that's a comedian that tried to help me with this, but I won't name that person because I don't want you to blame them if you don't like my material. Before we get to all of that, speaking of being prepped and having the right material, or maybe the wrong material, depending on how you view it, national security was the issue. It was the 11th Republican debate, this time in Washington, D.C., at the Constitution Center. It's a good place, actually, to hold it. The muckety-mucks were on hand from all kinds of think tanks, from K Street, up and down the line. And I think some of the conversation was pretty focused, and some of it was good, and some of the candidates fell flat, I would say. One of the things that was brought up, no surprise, is immigration, what to do with the illegal immigration problem. Newt Gingrich and Michelle Bachmann don't see eye to eye. The former Speaker of the House, who's now rising in the polls and desperately wants to occupy 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, would kind of give him a break, while Michelle Bachmann shows no mercy to those who crawl across the border illegally.
You've been here 25 years, and you got three kids and two grandkids. You've been paying taxes and obeying the law. You belong to a local church. I don't think we're going to separate you from your family, uproot you forcefully, and kick you out.
I don't agree that we should make 11 million workers who are here illegally legal.
All right, pretty simple. Amnesty, no way, says Bachmann. Neither one of them have to worry, because this isn't going to be a hot and heavy campaign issue. The name of the game is the economy. Yes, we care about national security big time, but I think so much of the focus is on deficit, 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 where are we headed, where are we going, what we slashing, what's going to happen with taxes, that there won't be too much of the immigration question that will play a part, I think, into the voters' minds. Because when you rank the issues that are important to you, I guarantee that's not the most important. It used to be. It used to be pretty high on the list, and it's still on the top five, I would say. But everything's about money these days, because people are scared to death, worried about losing their houses, worried about the future for their children, worried about having kids, because can they really afford it? I saw a new thing that just came out from, I think it was Parenting Magazine. They estimate $230,000 is what it takes to raise a child to age 18, but that's a no frills deal. That means no college. You're not footing the bill for college. You're not even into college with that number. You add on college, you're talking about half a mil, I think, in most cases. Even community college, if somebody could go there, work their way up, get the credits, I mean, you'd have to work. You're basically talking about working your way up, being an athlete who gets a scholarship, or somebody else who gets another kind of a merit scholarship. So the economy, the economy, the economy, what's in your wallet is vital to Americans, hands down, and everybody knows it. And certainly all the people that are running on the Republican side know it as well. That's why we have this argument about what is the Occupy movement really? Are there people that are occupying portions of our city in tents, or holding up signs, or blocking entries into buildings for people who are working there? Are they being heard, and do they have the purest of intentions saying, listen, we're tired of it, we are the voices, here we are? There were early comparisons to the Tea Party, but this is hardly the Tea Party. The other day we talked with our pal Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, who speaks all over the world and advises the FBI and other people about things that they can do to be smart about watching out and looking for the signs of terroristic activity. And he threw in his two cents about what the Occupy deal really is about.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the signs and look at the TV footage, I mean, you see, the word that comes to mind is losers. I mean, they're not the 99%. They're the 1%, which is dead weight in this country. They obviously are wearing, many of them, very expensive clothes, but they don't have a job. Like the fellow we just talked about, he was living with his mom, unemployed. And so, you know, there's plenty of jobs out there, but I think it's really this class envy, the class warfare thing that the far-left Democrats are trying to play on. But as I always tell my students, I'd much rather work for a rich man than a poor man, because a rich man can pay you. And socialism is inherently illogical, inherently dysfunctional, because it only exists as long as you can have people, other people that support it. And when people discover they can vote for themselves money from the public treasury, then the whole thing collapses. So it's really nothing new, but it's simply, you know, these individuals that are coming together, and a lot of them are, you know, openly for the Communist Party and the Anarchy Party, and it's just a hodgepodge of malcontents. You know, I mean, it's a shame that the authorities do not move in quickly. Because when they violate the law, I can guarantee you, if Tea Party people were camping out and trashing the environment and doing the things that these groups were doing, it would be just, you know, it would be outrage in the mainstream media, and they'd be taking immediate action against them from day one.
He has a great point there. He's absolutely right. That's exactly what would happen. And he says this is not the 99% whatsoever. And you like the way he didn't pull any punches, saying it's a bunch of losers. I don't know. Do you view the Occupy movement that way? Does anybody out there think that this is really a force to be reckoned with, and not people passing time that are just hanging out and causing problems here and there because they're unemployed and they're not trying to get that gig for a living? Here's the thing. It is pretty tough on the unemployment line these days, and not everybody slips into that category. It's easy to look toward that, but I don't think everybody could fall into that. However, I do agree with Jeff. I think that what we're seeing, and I certainly have tried to lift those rocks up, what we're seeing is exactly what he's talking about. And this isn't a movement unless they target certain areas, unless they really get serious, get organized, go to Washington, start pounding on the people we elect. That's how you affect change. But I don't want to lecture anyone. Hey, coming up next on ATN, we have our daily salute, plus how you cooking the turkey. Are you doing it in the oven, throwing in a bucket to brine it, and then putting it on a grill somewhere? Maybe you're frying it. Ooh, we have a warning if you're of the fry variety. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Form of a protester in my midst. If you go to americatonight.net, you'll see Occupy Mahalo. That would be one golden retriever who refuses to move despite many attempts to get him to do so. So you can catch Mahalo on camera right now at americatonight.net. Wonder what Jeff Atticott would have to say about that. He doesn't have a tent, by the way. Kissmaster asked me if he had a tent. Coming up a little bit later in this hour, we are going to go to people like Kissmaster and the rest of the bunch when we check our mailbag. Oh, so many things to look forward to here on this version of ATM. But before we do that, hey, it's Thanksgiving, man. So that means you're probably eating some turkey unless you're anti-turkey or you're a strict vegetarian. You're not going to eat the turkey then, right? You're going to have some kind of a vegetable mashup or something. But you might be at the table with people who are eating turkey, and how are they preparing it? Now, a lot of people like to fry turkeys. They like the way it tastes. They think it's easier to do. It takes less time. I've had a fried turkey before, and I thought it was pretty good. Although, I like the traditional oven thing, and it's probably just because I'm used to it, I guess, and I'm not used to the turkey frying thing. And plus, with the heat that you're talking about, it scares me to death, especially if you have kids around when somebody's doing that. I'm always thinking that somehow it's going to spill, somebody's going to forget, something's going to happen, and we're going to have a disaster. Here's Captain DJ Corcoran with a big warning about frying that turkey.
Make sure that there's no children or animals that might come in contact. You don't want to tip this over because you'll have a grease fire.
Yeah. And that's it, the grease fire thing. And with my occupier, Mahalo, that would be impossible for me. So I'd just rather do it putting it in the oven, doing it that way. If you are celebrating, I just hope that you cook your turkey. That's the key. And then you get that tryptophan buzz afterwards. So you'll be watching that late game, most likely, depending on when your family does it. This part I don't get, and I guess it depends on families and where everybody's coming from. But a lot of people will have Thanksgiving really for lunch, early. Do it early. So noon hour, between noon and two. And my family was always like the dinner time thing. So you would never have had Thanksgiving before 5:30, usually anywhere between 6 and even 7 o'clock. And some people think that's outrageously late. Matt, I'm going to use you as the guinea pig because you have a big old family celebration. What time are they throwing down grub over at the Johnson house?
I'm actually going over to my aunt and uncle's. I know I'm supposed to be there around 2. I have no idea when the food is going to be plated, but if I have to wait around and be hungry for a couple hours, it's going to be a huge issue. So hopefully it'll be like 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay. So 3 is not bad.
Right after the Packer game and before the Cowboys game starts. Wedge a meal in right there, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, because, see, here's the thing, and I guess this is why. If you eat early, then you're going to be picking and eating later. Then people are probably already having turkey sandwiches by the time, like, that late game comes on. That's what's most likely going on.
The worst thing is waiting around to eat, though. I had that happen a couple of years ago where I don't think we ate until 5 or 6 o'clock. It's too long. I don't know.
It's too long to wait.
I can't wait that long.
You're spoiled. I don't know. Mashed potatoes at noon and all that stuff, if it's at least his family, they're doing it later in the afternoon. When it's super early, man, I don't get it. And here's the thing.
Plus then your family time's up in like the 6-7 hour range, and that, I can't do that.
True.
I cannot do that.
Absolutely. It's a trade-off. He's absolutely right. So if you have to arrive somewhere, because you're not gonna get there at the last second, so you would have to spend a long day with your family if the cooking is later, if it's later by the time you do that. And I guess with my family, I realize it's hors d'oeuvres and somebody has drinks or don't have drinks or whatever they have, but there is something before that, and then the turkey is made, and then, boom, it's on the table. And so a lot of people, it's not even about the gravy or the mashed potatoes or the stuffing. It's about the pumpkin pie at the end of the meal. Some people just, you know, like that better more than the main meal, which I would have to say, I think it's tough when you have all that other stuff to have room at the end. But you got your warning about frying the turkey versus some of the other ways you could make it. Not that it doesn't taste good, but just that people will do some dumb things and injuries happen, and they'll have these crazy grease fires. I remember I did a story one time on emergency room visits on the holidays, and what was the worst, and Thanksgiving was one of the worst, and it was because of people preparing the turkey and slicing their finger or having those accidents with the grease. A lot of strange things happen on the holidays, or just going for your relative's throat and everybody pulling you apart, because there always seems to be arguments that ensue, especially with people who haven't seen each other in a long time. But let's just say everybody's going to have a happy and safe holiday. How about that? All right, I want to get back to the Daily Salute. A lot of you have sent me notes about what happened to the Daily Salute. It's supposed to be daily, but I don't think I heard the Daily Salute. So I'm going to start posting the Daily Salute. I love this one. This is a good one. You know, I don't watch a lot of commercial TV. I'll say commercial TV because I'll watch movies and sports and news programs and that kind of stuff and documentaries. I'm big into the documentary thing, but it's a time issue, so I'm not going to sit around and listen to the laugh track sitcoms that are airing, and maybe some of them are good. So I'm not blanketly trashing all the stuff that's out there. And I'm not big into the reality shows either. But there is one, this Dancing with the Stars show, and I've seen little clips of it, so it's obvious to know who's leading because they pump the commercials out all over the place when you're watching other things. And this actor, J.R. Martinez, won Dancing with the Stars. So you might say, well, who cares? But this guy is something. He's an Iraq war vet. We're going to have him on the show. And he got to hoist the cheesy trophy at the end of it all, but he danced his butt off. They showed little clips of him. I saw it. And this is a guy who's lucky, first of all, that he's alive, because he was driving and he was hit by an IED. His window was open and he was burned, terribly burned. And you can see it in his face. His face is burned. He had to go through all kinds of intensive rehab. And then he got a great chance at a little guest shot on a soap opera. He went, he blew everybody away, never was an actor guy, and he ended up on this soap, and then here he ends up on this dancing show, and he beats out all the personalities, all the Nancy Graces and David Arquettes and China Phillips of the world. And, you know, he's virtually the unknown, pretty much, but people voted for him. I mean, you know, there's a vet who really bounced back in a big way, and I think gives a lot of inspiration to other veterans and people who are severely burned victims. So how about a hand for this dude? Good for him. Woo! Where's that applause out of Minneapolis? They're already on that tryptophan. Eating turkey in the studio at the mothership because they know I can't stand. Yep. Good for you, J.R. Martinez. Good for you. All right, I said we were also going to dip into another poll because I know you're just fascinated by the numbers in these polls. And, you know, any of the straight-up things where we're talking about who's leading. Newt Gingrich is now in the double digits, and some he's challenging Mitt Romney big time. But that's not the poll that I wanted to dip into. There was a poll that Reuters did after the super committee failure as to who do you blame? Are you blaming the Democrats? Are you front-loaded on the Republicans? Who's to blame for this failure? Well, I already said it. You know my piece. Putting super in front of committee was stupid in the first place. Never was going to happen. Never was going to work. I think it was more of a Barnum and Bailey kind of setup. Distract them with this idea that we might come up with a compromise. And it was never going to happen. So the Reuters poll shows that 19% blame a combination of Democrats and Republicans for the inability to agree to a deficit plan. 22% held a mix of lawmakers from both parties and Democratic President Obama accountable for this. Who cares? They were never super. They were brutal.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military driving manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, the main name in military supply.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
To all our friends in Canada, Vietnam, the UK, and China. Yes, China. Some people in China are listening to America Tonight. Obviously, they haven't heard me bag on my philosophy on what's happening in their country. I mean, hey, good for the Chinese, because now they're making some of the do-re-mi. You've got people in China who are wealthy, who are driving around in Mercedes, Lexuses, whatever they're doing, traveling all over the world, making all kinds of dough. And why? Because they're producing things while we sit around and ponder what to do with this outrageous deficit. Yeah. And don't make things. We've got to start making more in the USA. We cannot take, because we're taking crap anyway, half of the stuff that we're importing. And it's taken away our livelihoods. It's already done that. The damage is, how's that song go? Neil Young says, damage done. I can't do it, but the damage is done. So many of you had thoughts on all kinds of things. I thought it'd be fun to do kind of a hodgepodge mailbag instead of group it all together. So let's head to the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Yes, and here we are in the room, and there's letters all over the place because we still do get letters. That's amazing. For now, the Postal Service hasn't completely tanked, although, like the Titanic, slowly sinking because they've hit a gigantic iceberg, and are they going to get bailed out? Saturday service will be a thing of the past. Who knows if you'll ever receive cards again? I predict 3 years down the line, yeah, we won't be getting cards that say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and congratulations. We'll get them online, but we won't get them from a mailbox any longer. What happens to all the people who make mailboxes for a living? Ponder that. All right, this one comes to us from Newt, not the Gingrich. I like that. Newt, you got my vote. Newt, not the Gingrich, says, Kate, did you happen to see the reaction to the Prez in New Hampshire? Some people were booing him when he tried to hook his wagon to the Occupy movement. No one's buying what he's selling, even in New Hampshire, because once he was the darling, now he no longer is. That's what I got from it. Well, he's there in New Hampshire trying to jump ahead of the Republican presidential candidates and taking a few swipes at them because of the anti-tax pledging and blaming that on the reason why the automatic trigger has to happen, because the super committee couldn't come up with anything. The Republicans were just so stubborn they wouldn't raise taxes. That was part of what he talked about on that trip, and that's, I'm sure, what you're referring to. And, yes, people were absolutely booing. Here's one from JJ. Kate, I laughed my head off, and I knew that I liked you one night when I heard you bagging on Netflix because you used to be a user, and apparently you like to watch movies. Isn't it crazy? You said Netflix was the blunder of the year, and now I'm kind of agreeing with you. Did you see how far they've dipped as far as their stock price is concerned? Yeah, I'm a day trader. And, yeah, I dumped Netflix when I saw what was happening. Boy, it has been a massive free fall for Netflix. Thanks for the email. That was clever. The 20-month low, I think I read the other day. So, you know, are they going to be able to overcome this? I remember talking to somebody about Netflix, and we were actually arguing. I said, wow, how could they think that, okay, we're going to raise the price of the 60%, and everybody's just going to hang on and say, well, we have no choice. We like the service. So instead of paying our $7.99 or our $10, we'll gladly pay $15, $16, and we'll stream everything, and we'll get the for a month, and we'll get the movies in the mailbox like we always did. And no, people are sick of being part of the upsell, sick of being part of the, well, now everything's changed, so we have to really pummel you with increases. They could have done it gradually or just had it, you know, increase a little bit, but 60 was too much no matter what the amount of money is. And to insinuate that $15, $16 is no big deal, well, then you add up everything you get. Cable bills with all the taxes on it, the phone bill. Yeah, they want to sell you phone service, but they don't really tell you what it costs by the time you add on all the taxes and everything else that they stick you with. We're in the land of upsell and add-ons. That's what it is. So we are wise to the ways of these companies who do that. That's why Netflix was so stupid. They thought they were going to raise $400 million from investors by issuing debt, by the way, and selling 2.86 million shares of this stinking, slumping stock. Yep, it's just a reminder that they have lost once an incredible company that was ahead of the curve and sinking the fates and fortunes of the blockbusters. They've sunk themselves. Used to be a hot commodity, not any longer. And, you know, here's the problem. It's that 60%. I keep going back to that. You multiply $15, $16, $17 over the course of 12 months, and it does take a bite out of the budget. And here's the thing. Yes, to stream, it costs more and all of that, I get it. So if they had to raise rates a little bit, that's okay. But they tried to pull the wool over everyone's eyes, and that's the problem. So in the end, they really, really messed up here. What's crazy is the stock at one point was at $3.05 a share. And it has dropped like a rock faster than I've seen anything drop in a very long, long time. Now it's like $85.80 a share. $85.80 a share. Oh, my. They might still be able to hang on and just try to weather it and see where they can bounce back. I'll tell you, the people who are happy about what's happened with Netflix, the company I just mentioned, Blockbuster, because then for the people working there, stores are closing and the bankruptcy issue and all of that, this kind of breathes new life into them because they're doing cheaper movie rentals and all that kind of stuff. So now people are saying, well, you know, if I have to drive around the corner to get a movie for 50 cents on Saturday night, I'd rather do that than put up with what I put up with this increase in fees. Okay, let's move to another email. This one comes to us from Jenny. And Jenny says, hello, Kate Delaney. I have to tell you, I have been watching a lot of these Republican debates. I hear you mention the ratings often. And so it seems it must be a bonanza because I'm amazed at all the different networks and the different spin on the topics of these debates. At first, I thought it was the same old when we heard from the gang in New Hampshire. But now it's getting kind of juicy. Because people want to win and they want to move up in the polls, don't you think? Of course. All of the people that are on that stage, if you ask any of them, and that's the job of the handlers around them, to make them think they can still win this thing. Rick Santorum, who says you can't move up? Look what all the other candidates have done. Herman Cain, forget about that closet full of women who are complaining you sexually harassed them or the other things you've had to shrug off, stumbling over the Libya question, having some trouble when it came to foreign affairs and you've been asked different things. But forget about it. You still have the possibility of winning. After all, we are still almost a year away. Almost a year away. Newt Gingrich is the latest and greatest. Does Newt stick and stay, or does he slide in the opposite direction? The cool thing about living in these times, all of you know it, is that technology is instantaneous. Boy, anything you want to find out, you can really find it out. It's not like the old days where you had to go to the library, look in encyclopedias, and try to figure your way around whatever book report you were doing or research you were doing. Now it's a keystroke away. And anything anybody says, anybody running, it's there. It's there for the taking. And you know what? They should be held accountable because if you're running for the leader of the free world, you have to be held accountable for what you're saying. And you have to back up what you're saying. Do you believe it or is it just nonsense you're pumping out there to try to get people to pay attention to you? I often ask this question, what do you want to see in a president? I want honesty. I want someone who is who they are, whatever it is. If you stumble and it's real, okay. If you are really solid on certain issues, because you're not going to be 100% across the board solid. I don't care if you're a Rhodes Scholar. There's going to be holes in some of the information that you're, some things you're asked about and some of the things that you know. It's just not humanly possible. Even if you are a speed reader, to absorb all the things you would actually have to absorb. All right, let's do one last one here. This is a good one. This comes to us from John in Seattle. Kate, I know you probably saw this. You used to do a thing about justice served. Well, this is justice served, my friend. Did you see the deal on Merck? They have to pay millions to settle the Vioxx charge. Wow. That's been a long time coming. And even if some people are only going to get a little bit of money, it's better than letting Merck continue to do what they were doing. And they made a ton of money. I can remember taking Vioxx for a weekend warrior type of injury that I had. Are you still doing the weekend warriors? I'll send you something down the line. All right, so let me finish this out. He's talking about Merck. They had to pay $950 million for the Vioxx deal, and that was a big deal. It's a painkiller. And what happened was some of the effects on people, that's where they were able to put the suit together. It's the largest settlement by a major pharmaceutical company over marketing drugs in the U.S. not approved by the FDA. Stay with us.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down.
Take it away. How does it feel to be one of the beautiful people?
Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com
and iTunes.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Getting closer. Oh, can't you just smell the turkey now? Hey, coming up, we got our cheesy holiday exit lines. Yes, indeed. And on our next show, because we are having a next show, I hope some of you are going to be listening as you are traveling to grandmother's house, your great aunt's house, your girlfriend's house, wherever you're going. You might be plugged in and listening. Call us for the third hour for our nail the score. Who knows what the game of the week will be, but we have some great prizes to give away. And admit it, if you're hanging out, come on, what are you doing? Hanging out watching some of the cheesy reruns on the tube. Listen to America Tonight. Plus, we got our turkeys of the year. I got a long list of turkeys, and you can contribute to that list too. It's such a layup question, right? Who are the biggest turkeys of the year? Think about it. In politics, in sports, business, anything. I'm going to have to say Charlie Sheen would make my list of turkeys, although he profited. So maybe in one sense he's not truly the definition of a turkey, because people by all rights say he's actually a nice guy. He just went a little loony and did that whole thing with, winning. But and had the goddesses with him and all the other nonsense. But his circus did make some money. In the end, he got $25 million from CBS, so he got to laugh all the way to the bank and had made a ton of money anyway on the show that he was on, Two and a Half Men. So maybe that's an iffy one. Maybe that's iffy. But I got better lists of turkeys. So remember, that's coming up. Also, Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible, will join us. So if you, and seriously, this guy knows it, man. He's got 16 books out, I'm telling you. I was in the Smithsonian, and there I see the guru's book, and it was on collecting toys. And he's such a fanatic of a collector, I'm serious, that he sold it. He had a schoolhouse in Pennsylvania loaded with his stuff. From Monopoly games to thimbles to shot glasses to, you know, premium high-end stuff to nutcrackers, you know, whatever. So if you collect anything and you're fascinated by the price point and what you might get for your stuff, I think you need to call him. That's in our second hour of our next show. And he's good. He will nail the price for you. Matt, do you collect anything? Do you collect anything? Baseball cards from the past shoved somewhere in a drawer?
I mean, I have baseball cards, but I'd say currently I'm not really collecting anything.
Nothing. Not concert tickets? Nothing.
Not really. I'm not.
Bar matches?
Nope.
Wow.
Never really into that.
Are you sure? I don't believe you.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, the only thing I guess that I'm saving is my old Nintendo and the Nintendo games, because those are amazing.
That's collecting something.
I guess, but it's not collecting because you're I'm not currently adding to it.
But you have it because you want to sell it to make money, so you're saving it.
No, I'm not. I'm saving it because it's awesome.
Because it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. How many games do you have in this Nintendo collection?
I don't know, around 30, I think.
Wow. Was your favorite the old Stand By the Mario Brothers?
Well, Super Mario 3 was probably one of the best games for it.
Yeah.
And Contra,
yeah.
And Tecmo Bowl, and Tecmo Super Bowl, and another sports game, RBI Baseball.
RBI Baseball, I never played that one.
Well.
I like it.
You can come swing on over, we'll hook it up, and I'll give you a run for your money.
We have to do that.
Mega Man was big.
I played that. Yes, that's good. All right, so you do collect. I'm sorry. It counts. You collected Nintendo games.
All right, I guess I collect.
Well, you did collect them.
I'm not currently collecting.
Yes.
No,
you're currently adding.
No, because I'm not currently, and it's not really collecting. If you get it when you're a kid and you're using it for amusement at that time, and then you happen to say, I'm saving it. I wouldn't call it collecting.
All right, if you have an opinion on whether Matt's a collector, please send me an email at americatonight.net, because I contend that that counts as collecting, and I'm going to ask
Harry
Rinker.
If you have a 1975 Oldsmobile or something that you've been keeping around, you're a car collector then because you got one?
Oh, that's
and you're not currently
different.
Adding cars to your collection?
That's different because you probably can't afford
it's
that.
It's one and the same.
Oh, it is not. All right, whatever. Matt. Go play with your Nintendo games.
I will. I'll fire it up right now.
See, here's the thing.
See how much I pay attention to yourself.
Thanks. It's nice to know that, isn't it? I don't think I'm a collector either. I mean, I'm like Matt, you know, he could be my little brother for some of the things that we're both cynical on, I guess. But I say that, and then it's not really true because I tested the theory. And it turns out I had a box full of, first of all, I've been to all these events, 10 Super Bowls, the White House, you know, all kinds of things. So I had press stuff, press badges or whatever that I saved. I saved them. So that's collecting. Whether or not that's actually worth anything, I don't know. I don't know that it would be worth anything ultimately except for to maybe future offspring or my nephew or somebody in the family, I guess. I didn't throw them all in the trash, though. Some people that cover the Cowboys or the Yankees or whatever sports team, the Minnesota Twins, what they'll do is at the end of the year, they'll throw away their press, you know, badges. They don't hold on to them. So I think it counts as collecting. I think it does. Because of the fact that I hung on to it. That's why I would say that. Point is, if you do collect anything like political buttons, for example, then you'll want to call Harry in our next show because he can tell you what it's worth. At least get you in the right ballpark. How's that? Love it. As we head for the exits here, before we get to our fun little jokes, I was talking about Merck because somebody asked the question in our mailbag segment, and I got a couple of quick emails just a few moments ago, too, actually, asking for more details on that. Well, remember what happened with the Vioxx? That was over-the-counter, so it was really big, and it was big because a lot of people were taking it, people that played rugby or basketball on the weekend or had tennis elbow or any of that kind of stuff. And the Justice Department said that Merck promoted the drug for treating rheumatoid arthritis before it was approved for that condition. So that's what really, I think, nailed them, because it wasn't approved by the FDA. And then some people had problems with it, so they've got to pay, you know, they have to pay the piper now at this point. They end up paying the judgment comes down to $321.6 million in criminal fines for misbranding that drug into interstate commerce, and also, because you asked for the breakdown, to pay an additional $628 million in a civil settlement to resolve the allegations regarding the off-label marketing of the stuff and the false statements about its heart safety, because some people died. Some people had heart attacks, and there were heart risks there, and that is partially what led to this big lawsuit. Some of the things that had happened to some people, and I can remember Vioxx. I can remember people I know taking it, actually, because they were athletes, you know, weekend athletes, like I like to say. All right, here we go with a couple of quick exit lines. How's this? Turkeys are going to thaw in the morning, then warm in the oven to an afternoon high near 190 degrees Fahrenheit. The kitchen will turn hot and humid, and if you bother the cook, be ready for a severe squall or cold shoulder. That's a little cheesy weather forecast that I worked up for you. How about that? Don't I get anything for that? Applause? Come on. I worked on that all day.
Bueller? Oh, no. We woke up the mama.